Hello, I'm Michael Lehman, technology evangelist here at Microsoft, along with my co-host, Bob Walsh, whose new book, Clear Blogging, is just hitting the shelves this week. And today we're speaking with David Chadle, a user experience evangelist here at Microsoft. Hello, David.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Bob.
Hi there.
So before we get into actually talking about the design and how it applies to micro ISVs and so forth, maybe, David, you could tell us a little bit about what is a user experience evangelist and what is your day-to-day like here at Microsoft?
All right, great. Good question. So the user experience evangelism program is relatively new here at Microsoft. I've been an evangelist for about almost a year now, and we have, along with myself, there is approximately 12 user experience evangelists in the field, spread out around the world. And our role really is to kind of evangelize the importance of creating great user experiences, using our technologies, of course. But the idea is, how do we get these technologies to really sing? And the differentiation between one application to another is truly with the experience that the user will have on them. So my day-to-day job is kind of varied, actually, and as I'm here at corporate, I do a lot of facilitating and trying to help those people in the field by getting them in touch with various people in product groups, doing some research to try to get them up to speed on the technologies and where they need to go to find that. In addition, I also manage a couple accounts and help the partners for them to figure out how to kind of weave through this set of technologies and how do we get them to understand to create great user experiences on there. And it's more than just the technologies. It's getting an understanding that you're creating something that you want people to come in and use. It has to be something that, you know, if you apply it to real day life, when you walk into a store or you walk into a restaurant, it's the experience that you have. It's not just the food on the shelves. It's not just the food that gets put in front of you. That's part of it, but it's the whole experience that kind of helps generate how the person feels when they either come into it or more importantly, after they leave.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. What happened to the old idea of there is a Windows interface and all developers, small and large, should do things in the Windows interface way, or at least in the Office Windows way? How do we go from there to user experience?
So how do we change that around so that there's differentiation between Windows apps? Is that what you're asking?
Well, if you take a look at a Windows Presentation Foundation-enabled application, It doesn't look like what we used to have in Windows. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even come close to it. And I'm wondering, for starters, programmers have been told for a long, long time the best way to do a good application is to do one with a good standard Windows interface. Now we've got something new here, focusing on the user experience, focusing on the design. Is it just that we're able to do that now and before we couldn't?
Well, I think that's a major part of it. I think that the way that the technology has changed and the way that WPF has come into kind of the mix is that it allows designers now, it gives developers and designers this ability to work together. It also provides the opportunity to actually push the way that applications are built. So,
okay.
You know, having an applications that they all kind of look the same and the differentiation between them is perhaps hard to tell, and they all end up looking like a kind of a Visual Studio interface. I think that WPF allows developers to create experiences that are more in line with what it is they want to, what their users to accomplish.
Well, how is that experience that we're now supposed to design as developers, or micro ISV developers especially, how does that differ from just dragging and dropping controls on a form and trying to make it look decent?
Well, I think you're dragging and dropping elements onto a form is relatively limited. And I think that now with the way that WPF allows developers to actually create really rich applications, it allows, you know, the difference is really ends up being that, again, it goes back to what I was saying before, it's this differentiation. I want my application to look different than your application.
Okay. I guess the question I'd ask is why? And I think what you'd probably tell me is that there's a difference in what those applications do, and really, form ought to follow function, not the other way around.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when you look at I kind of look at it in four and with a set of UX principles. There's four principles that I kind of look at, and you want your application to be useful. What is it that you want the user to get? What does the user need to get out of that application? You want it to be usable. You want it to be efficient. You want things to be easy to find. You want unfamiliar tasks to be easy to kind of figure out, discoverable, and accomplishable. You also want your application to be desirable, and you want it to have an emotional connection with the user. This is, when you first open that application, what is the first impression you get? I think this actually is probably the best way to answer the question you're asking is, you want a person who's opening your application to feel like the task that they're coming to complete is reflected in the way that the application is written and not only that, the way that the application looks.
Well, you know, I've been developing stuff for Windows for a good number of years, and I think that this is sort of a break from the past where developers were basically told, you know, don't develop different applications, develop applications that have the same interface, because that way users will be able to transfer their knowledge from application to application. But it sounds to me like you're saying that Windows or Microsoft has decided that it's more useful and more desirable that an application be desired, that be sexy, that be attractive, than it be standardized. And that's a real mind change for developers.
Well, I think that the point is that ultimately, you're going there to you don't want something to be sexy just for the sake of being sexy. It needs to be applicable. You want to create. Ultimately, it's the functionality that really a person should be coming to an application for. That's why I would assume that you as a developer would be creating an application. You want somebody to accomplish a task.
Mm-hmm.
Having your application look like mine and Michael's and everybody else's is interesting in the aspect that, yes, perhaps you know where everything is, but I don't think that it's really that way. I mean, I think that you end up with applications that maybe I don't understand why, if you have the ability to differentiate your application, why you would want it to look so standard.
Mm, okay.
David, is it possible that perhaps we're doing things that are different, and therefore, again, form following function? The functions we're doing now are somewhat different. They're richer media. They're more integrated than they were back in the days when everyone was writing a word processor and a spreadsheet and a presentation program, which was, I think, most of what everyone was doing in one way, or a database application, which is what most of everyone was doing back in the days when we had the Windows user interface guidelines and we were trying to standardize the paradigm. So is that possibly part of the reason here why the form should change?
Yeah, and I think that's a major part of it. I think the users are becoming they're kind of expecting it now. I mean, I think that with people's experience on the web and the way that the ability for people to go from website to website, not all the websites look the same, and people are able to use them. So I think that you want to create something that, as a brand or as an application, you want to create something that, when I, as a user, come to your application, I know that I'm experiencing your particular application, and I know what I'm there to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think Go ahead, Bob.
What you're basically saying is that the idea of the interface has become what the web is, and that interface has become the universal standard, that there has to be some basic functionality every application shares. There has to be a way to close it, for example. But now people's eyes have been opened and people have experienced so many other interfaces that there's a lot more latitude out there in how you present the workflow of an application.
Absolutely, and I think that the user interface is one element of it. I think you still have to, you know, break your application apart and see how are people using it, how is the information laid out, how do you anticipate what that user is going to do, you know, by anticipating how the user is going to use your application and not how you expect them to use it. I think that with the standardization that you were talking about, we just assumed that everybody knew where everything was. Mm-hmm. And now, which I think is a good thing, but I also think that it's relatively limiting, and I think that we've kind of proven that. I think that also kind of goes back to what I was saying before, where if you have this ability to create something that allows the user to complete their task, but also do it in a way that is much more enjoyable, I think you would agree that a user would actually come back to your application and use it more often, not just because of the way that it looks, but more of the way that it functions.
Okay. I would agree with that totally, because if you take a look at the type of apps that have done really well on the web, for instance, the stuff that 37 Signals has produced, they have a very clean, attractive, totally non-standard compared to the desktop way of doing things. But it flows really well.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. How does a micro ISV developer learn enough design without becoming a full-time designer? I mean, how do you get design into your programming head?
So I think that that's a good question, and I guess the way I'd answer that is it's not. I think there's a distinction that people assume that design is all about the way that an application looks. I think I kind of want to go back to the principles that I laid out before and actually touch back on the fourth one that I missed. You really have to look at your application from end to end and look at the way that it's, that all the information that's there that you're presenting to the user, all the information that's there that you're hoping the user will input as a part of using it, and figure out how do I make this application useful, usable, desirable, which is where we're talking about the way that it looks and generates that kind of first impression and the emotional connection, and is it feasible? How can this be built? Yeah, what is the time that I have? What's the budget? How many people do I need to create this? It's design is think of it as kind of an architecture. Architects don't just build buildings and then hope that people are going to be able to use them. They look at the way that the building space is to be used. They check out, you walk into an area, where are all the different rooms? How big are they based on the way that people, the functionality of that particular room in that enlarged space. So, actually that works out as an interesting analogy where you have lots of different types of rooms all within one building. I see an application the same way. If you have an understanding of how your different components of your application come together and how people will interact with them, that kind of helps you understand how the application should be designed. I think it's really important that you get the functionality down first, and then you look at how you make it look. I think having something that's desirable is really important to the aspect that you want people to feel good about it. You want people to know that they can go from point A to point B and they know where they are along in the process. So knowing enough about design, there's so many websites out there and so many sources, you can be overwhelmed by them easily. I think it's having a basic understanding of the principles of user experience that actually would help developers understand how to design really good applications. And it's, and again, it's, when I say design, it's not designing an application that just looks good, but the functionality all remains the same. You really have to break it all apart and look at all the different aspects of it.
David, do you think that part of this is also going to cause developers to have to start thinking differently in terms of how they build their applications in the first place? I mean, the one of the things that I've been seeing as I start looking at the whole gamut of opportunities for micro ISVs today is that there's potentially part of their application out in the cloud and part of it on the desktop, and potentially it might be even being delivered, the functionality, on a variety of different, essentially, presentation services, maybe a web browser, maybe a desktop app, maybe a system tray app, maybe on a phone. And, you know, the is that one of the motivating factors for separating the user's experience from the application logic, and do you think that really changes how an ISV has to think about designing their application in the first place?
So, as a user, I don't really care where all this information is coming from. As a user, I'm coming in and I just want to interact with it. As a developer of that experience, I think it's really important that you kind of figure out where all these components are coming from, and you're putting them into an interface which people can use regardless of the way it's being delivered. So, that's probably not answering your question, but...
Well, I think you're saying that there should be a consistent interface regardless of whether they're in your app on the web or on the desktop or on a smartphone or on a pocket PC or who knows what. I mean, that's practical to a certain point.
Well,
obviously, there are limitations there.
Yes. I think, and I actually, now that I understand your question a little bit better, I would say that I believe that is actually would be really difficult to do, and it actually may not be necessary. I think that you want to have consistent elements across those different experiences, so that when I come to your website or I come to your application or I come to your mobile experience, there's consistency across elements that I know that when I enter in information into one text box, it's done the same way across the different experiences. I think getting them to look identical would be an interesting thing to do. I don't know if it's actually practical or necessary. I think
sounds
that
like more of an important factor is the actual affordances of that particular device. Trying to cram a web page into a smartphone is a total exercise in futility.
Right, because I think that in some of those cases, you have to remember what is it that the people on using that smartphone experience, they don't need to see everything.
So, today, in 2007, if I'm a micro ISV developer, what things should be in my new toolbox here to be able to get the user experience right? In other words, what would be like the two or three websites that I must be reading? What are the two or three tools that I need to get up to speed on?
So I think having a clear understanding of WPF, Windows Presentation Foundation, and how that works. There's also, we have the expression products that are, have one has been launched already that's a web-based product, is Expression Web. There's CTPs out for the Blend product, which will help in the creation of WPF-based applications. Mm-hmm. As far as websites go, there's Microsoft applications, websites that provide quite a bit of great information. One of them is the NetEffects 3 site. Let me double check what the address is of that, unless you know what that is, Michael.
No, I don't have it off the top of my head.
Yeah, let me. And we'll put it
in the blog post for this.
Yeah, okay, we'll just do that. So I'm not going to worry about that. But I think my understanding, I apologize, I haven't done much work with micro ISV, so I don't really know exactly what kind of tool sets they currently are using, but...
Well, they'll tend to be... Visual Studio is where they'll live.
Right.
But it won't be Team Foundation, Visual Studio. They'll be very happy to have the Empower access to the MSDN subscription, so they've got, you know, all the usual tools, except last I heard, Expression Blend is not part of the MSN payload, and I'm not quite sure why that is. Do you have any information on that?
That's an issue that I'm following internally as well, too, so I don't really have the official answer for that, and I think it'd probably be best that I don't pretend to. So I am aware of that issue right now, and I'm trying to resolve it myself.
And for our listeners, we're going to be interviewing someone from the Expression team on a future episode of the MicroISV show, someone who should have a more authoritative thought process around that.
Right.
To try to figure out, you know, what they can do. I mean, right now, I believe, David, that there is, you know, Expression is kind of the high-end plan for that solution, and I know that we have some things coming in Orcas to allow you to do at least basic WPF design. There's a CTP out for that right now that actually runs inside Visual Studio.
Right. I mean, when you look at the Expression product tools, I mean, I will say this much. The tools are targeted at professional designers, and which is a market that Microsoft hasn't typically been in before, and it's one that we're starting to really kind of start to engage. And so those tools are set up, are targeted and marketed at professional designers. It doesn't mean that they're not available for developers. In fact, I think the beauty of that tool and the fact that they output with XAML and as well as Visual Studio is that it actually narrows this gap between developers and designers who are working together on a team or working together to create a user experience or, you know, deliver some sort of solution. I think it's that to me is a magical combination, because if I look at the way that I've worked before with developers where I would come up with a concept for a project, and then I would have to, you know, mock it up in, you know, say Photoshop or some other designer tool. Then I would have to print it out and meet with the developer and go back and forth. I mean, this is something that many people, most of your listeners, I'm sure, have actually dealt with. So I think the ability to have a tool like Expression, where I as a designer can go in and I can create all of the front end, and you as a developer create all the back end, and we put hooks in there so that if I need to go make a change on the front end of it, I can do that without affecting anything in the back end. So I think that the way that those tools come together and the language that they share makes this a much better user experience in creating applications.
Which brings me to another question, which is that I know that many MicroISVs, you know, are also dabbling, for lack of a better word, because they are so small, in web design to do their own product websites as well as building their applications. And I'm sure that that many of them have aspirations of having websites that look like, you know, Microsoft.com or the Windows Vista websites, and, you know, struggle with the fact that some of those things are just beyond either their artistic skill level or outside their range of experience in terms of design. So one of the things that I foresee happening, just like what happens on the web, that from time to time a MicroISV may now have to consider, just as they might buy search engine optimization services or marketing services from an outside vendor, they may have to consider buying some design services. And in that process, you know, how does a MicroISV, how do they go about selecting a competent partner? What would a developer look for in a designer, and what kind of if you were going out to try to find a designer to work with a developer, how would you, you know, what kind of criteria would you use to think about the designer?
So that's a great question. I think that I think the first thing I would look at is, you know, I'm assuming that most of the people would be looking at a design agency's website. Design agencies are come in all shapes and sizes. My assumption would be that a micro ISV would probably not be going for partnering with a large design firm just based on either location or cost. And I think what you want to find is that you want to find a designer who shows examples on their website of the type of work, so the type of work that, that they would actually find appealing. I think that if you find a website that shows a client list or shows showcases some of the sites that they've worked on, websites that they've worked on, and you can kind of see the general feeling or the tone that that particular agency puts into the work that they have, or the look at the client list. What kind of clients are they dealing with? Are they dealing with other development companies? Are they dealing with, you know, restaurants, or, you know, find an agency that is in the same, that has a niche for the same type of work that you're trying to accomplish. The reason I say that is because when you go to engage with them, you don't have to train them on all the details of what it is that your application or your service or your company is trying to accomplish.
Well, there's also another good resource out there. It's called programmermeetdesigner.com.
Yes, that's a great site.
And it is true, up until, I guess, our new world here, I mean, you had two camps. You had designers, and you had programmers. And there are very, very few people with a foot in both camps. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, how do you find that design expertise that you need to get your app up if you're coming from a programmer point of view. But there's an equally good number of people out there who are designers, but they want to get some good back-end stuff going, and they're looking for programmers.
Absolutely, and I think that that's kind of starting to shift a little bit. I think that I see in my own profession that to be a successful designer, you really have to have this understanding of how the development comes together, all the different languages, and you don't need to know them in detail, but you need to have a basic working understanding of how they can accomplish some of the tasks that you want to accomplish.
Well, it is still possible, because I think there's an important point to make here for micro ISVs, because micro ISVs have limited budgets when they start their mm-hmm. companies, but it is possible to do both. Now, granted, you may not be the best designer in the whole wide world, but some of the tools are out there that are making it much more easy. For instance, there's a guy by the name of Lee Remlow. He's a senior design guy at Frog Design, the people who designed the initial Mac.
Yep.
He did a 14-minute tutorial on how to use Visual Studio 2005 and Expression Blend at the same time to develop a WPF app. And it's really cool to watch him do this, because you flip back and forth between basically being a designer and being a programmer. And with these two programs, you get a great workflow to be able to do both the code and the graphic look of things. And I really see that that might just be the way for a lot of micro ISVs, is to get very comfortable with this dual IDE interface, if you will, for developing their WPF apps. You know, one thing I wonder, though, is what about the naysayers are going to say, well, you know, users don't care about eye candy. This is all eye candy. It doesn't matter. What do you say to them about where is the value for users in user experience focus?
The value, the business value is in how do you create an experience that people enjoy? How do you experience? You want to reward those experiences, those moments, and how do you get? Sorry, I'm kind of lost my train of thought there, but I think that eye candy is such a small part of it. I think that it has to be applicable to the application that you're building. I agree. I mean, I think that there's some cases where WPF enables a lot of amazing visual ability. That doesn't mean you have to use them all. It's applicable to what your app is and what the functionality of it. I think that there's a fine line there. I think you want to make sure that you're not just throwing in eye candy just for the sake that it's there. I think that actually hurts your experience in the end because it prevents the user from actually accomplishing their task. I think that the WPF enables you to create much better and richer applications that provide a much more superior user experience. That doesn't mean that you throw everything in there. It's just, I guess it comes down to kind of common sense. And you don't want your site to look completely plain, but you don't want it to be completely over the top if it's not necessary. And I think there's very few cases where it's necessary to go completely over the top. I mean, my assumption is, again, with my lack of knowledge on what some of the micro ISVs are out there creating, you're not creating a huge website. You're not creating a flash website where it's all about a bouncing ball or something that's happening that is you know, visually stunning. You want people to get in and find what they need, find the information they need, put the information in a way that it's consumable, and also create something that when the person clicks close on the application, they know that they've actually been able to complete the task that they needed to do, and they feel good about it.
Oh, that sounds good. I think maybe we can wrap up here with asking the question, how much software development experience as opposed to web development experience do you think a designer should have in order to be able to work in this sort of brave new world? I mean, obviously, as you said before, there's the paradigm where the designer uses Visio or Photoshop to build something, and then they go back and forth with the developers and finally hand over the image files, and the developer gets out his paint program and cuts out the images and plugs them together to make this thing go. But in this brave new world, now designers are able to think about controls and controls that do visual things to represent functionality. So how would a micro ISV, or anybody for that matter, go about trying to come up with a common framework of thought process and figure out how to decide whether a particular designer has enough experience to think like a desktop designer versus a web designer?
That's a good question. See, because I kind of put myself on the camp of the web design side, so
I kind of thought that most designers out there right now are probably that because they've been doing web design for the last 10 years or so. But if they want to, you know, I think with WPF and other kind of technologies that are out there, the concept of being able to deliver those same kind or similar rich media and rich functionality experiences are now going to be available also for offline applications, and there's some different process involved in developing those.
So, but the principles remain the same, though. I mean, I think that the skill set changes a little bit, but I don't really see it being that great of a difference. I think having a good understanding of design and understanding of how to create user experiences that are rewarding is the same. It's the same kind of approach whether you're doing a website or an application. I think with a website, there seems to be a little bit more ability to be more free-flowing. With applications, quite not so much, but I think that with WPF now, we're starting to see that change in there. I think that people who have been successful with web design would have an easy time transitioning over to do software development, because I think WPF enables you to create experiences that are much more in line with what you see on the web today.
All right, well, that sounds good. All right, let's pause here for a second and just kind of regroup and see if there's anything else we really want to do. So far, we're up to about 37 minutes, so I think we're kind of running into a length that I'd like to be at. David, do you want to recommend maybe a book or a website that people might go to start learning about design?
Well, I think the site that Bob pointed out, the Developer Meets Designer, is actually a really good site.
Well, there's
right.
a Microsoft /design site I came across this morning.
Yeah, that's a great site, too.
Okay, well, I think maybe you might want to mention that one, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other thing, David, is I was thinking that obviously there's ways of thinking about applications. I happen to be a big fan of Alan Cooper's The Inmates Are Running the Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can give that a plug for people to think that you don't have to build. You know, OneNote as a prime example is an application that's designed radically different than everything else we've ever done, because it actually does what the users want to do. And so there's design of the design of the user experience that includes not only the visual but also the flow of the application.
Right.
All right, David, it's been really great to have you on the MicroISV show. Is there any final thoughts that you have about design, maybe as it goes beyond the process of just creating the visuals for the application? How does user experience actually affect the actual application design process?
Oh, boy. Can we do that one again? I'm
sure.
Sorry.
All right, David, it's been really great to talk about design with you today on the MicroISV show. And I'm wondering, do you have any final thoughts on how the user experience thought process of thinking about how the user uses your application can affect the actual software design process beyond the visual?
So, yeah, thank you both for having me on your show. It was great. I think that what I would say at the end is that you, kind of to reiterate what I had said earlier, is that when you're building your application, you want to kind of look at it end to end, and you want to try to make, you want to be able to anticipate what your user is going to want to accomplish. You want to kind of make the user interface simple and lead people through the application. You want it to be desirable. You want it to look clean and simple. You don't want it to be too cluttered. So I think that, you know, if you, going back again, you know, the sites that are useful, usable, desirable, and then, you know, functional and feasible are kind of thoughts that you want to always kind of use when you're kind of looking at the project. I think by doing that, you kind of keep yourself on track, and you ensure that you're creating something that people will actually enjoy using. And at the end of the day, I think that's kind of what we all want, is applications that we actually enjoy doing rather than doing it because we have to.
And as an example of that, would you say something that developers can look at as an instance from which they might be able to extrapolate all of the work that was done to change the traditional interface for Office to the new ribbon-based interface for Office 2007?
So there's a site that we have at Microsoft called microsoft.com/design, which provides a really great explanation of the different design efforts we have going on here at the company. There's a Jensen Harris has a blog that you can find, and I'll give you we'll put that on the site to so people can link to that. He's one of the designers with Office and was very instrumental in the redesign of Office, which I think is a pretty amazing story. They really did do a lot of user research to ensure that the application that they created is much more usable, and it's a huge step forward, and I think it's a great accomplishment for the company and also with Vista. I think Vista is an operating system that it's more than just eye candy. They really went back into the ground floor, and they figured out how do we make an operating system that has greater functionality, and I think we'll see how that plays out.
All right, that sounds great. Bob, you have any final words?
That should do it for me. I would say that design and creating the user experience is tough when you are a one- or two-person company, but it's absolutely a requirement if you're going to make a product that's going to have that initial visual and workflow appeal that's going to differentiate you from all the other stuff that's out there and get you sales.
Differentiation, brand differentiation is definitely the key.
All right, well, that sounds great. All right, David, thank you once again for being on the MicroISV show. This is Michael Lehman, along with my co-host, Bob Walsh, whose new book, Clear Blogging, once again, has just come out, and I'm on the shelves now.
reminding you to tune in next week for a new episode of the Micro ISV Show here on Channel 9.